Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things, and as a result, are the catalyst for the change they hope to see. The goal for our show is to inform, to inspire, and impact our listening audience by giving nonprofits a platform to share all the great ways they are making a difference in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. Have you ever had a time in your life when you felt lonely or isolated? Well, you're not alone. Many sources indicate that there's an epidemic of loneliness in the United States. In fact, in May of 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General declared a national loneliness and social isolation epidemic, with studies showing that at least half of American adults report experiencing loneliness, which could lead to increased risk for various health problems, including depression, cardiovascular disease, dementia, and decreased cognitive function. Factors increasing the risk include widowhood, poor health, unemployment, low income, and living alone. The best way to prevent loneliness and the impact of it is to prioritize social connection through activities like talking to loved ones, joining clubs or classes, participating in community events, engaging in activities that interest you, including hobbies or volunteer work, to build meaningful relationships. Also, take care of your overall well-being through exercise, healthy eating, and sufficient sleep. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Sometimes people just simply aren't aware of the vast array of resources available in our community that they can engage in. So we're here to inform you of some of the options. Today, we're going to learn about an organization here in Waukesha County that offers activities and education to help stimulate your mind and your body. Welcome to the show today, Greg Dugan, board member of Learning in Retirement of Waukesha County.
Hi, Jill. Thank you very much for having me today. And thank you very much to Ellenbecker Investment Group for having us. I appreciate the time.
You're certainly welcome. We're excited to learn all about LIR. Well, I know all about LIR. We want our audience to know all about it. Why don't you start by explaining how LIR got started and what their mission is?
Well, LIR got started back in 1995. By a group of retired WCTC, and that's Waukesha County Technical College, teachers. They said, well, people when they retire, they're always looking for something to do, and lifelong learning or continuous learning, just as you cited, is a thing that is healthy, not only healthy, but it's something that people want to do. They don't want to just stop. So let's come together and figure out a way to do this. So those teachers said, great, we're going to have some courses that are of mutual interest to people in the area, and got together, and that's the way the group started. And it's been going ever since.
Okay. And well, how did you personally get involved and end up on the as a board member?
Well, I came through my wife, and it was an unfortunate circumstance that happened to her. She was working for a company in the area. And of course, I'm not going to go too much here on what exactly happened, but it was really an unfortunate circumstance because she was forced into retirement. It was an age-related issue, and came home one day, announced what happened. And then as time started to settle in, wait a minute, I have work friends. I go to work every day. This is what I do for my life for the last number of years. What am I going to do with myself now? That's a very traumatic experience for anybody who's ever been in that position. This is my life. What do I do now? And I saw that in her face. And then I don't know what happened the next few days, but she hooked up with somebody that is in this group called Learning in Retirement. Then she started going out and going into Mahjong. She started getting involved in hiking, this learning class that she was going to. And oh, I don't see her anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I still see her, but
she's MIA.
She's very active, and that's fantastic. And I saw a change in her that went from depressed, what am I going to do, to, wow, I've got all these friends. I'm going, doing things. I'm going to all these events. This is fantastic. Well, then things started to happen. And anybody who's heard of WLIR before, rather, knew that we were associated with WCTC more than just being started by them. WCTC was our headquarters. We had our classrooms there, all that type of stuff. They were very, very good to us. And then things like COVID hit. COVID changed everybody's world. And they had to move away from us a little bit as far as being able to use their classes and a few other things. LIR was sort of by ourselves. What are we going to do? And then some people thought maybe LIR was not going to be around for very long because we were divorced from that mothership, if you will. And I also saw that, there was a sense there that we needed to do something. And my wife asked me to get involved. And that's how I got involved in LIR.
Okay. So you got involved, not only looking at the different classes that they offer, but ended up being a board member. So obviously you really liked what they offered. Who is your target audience? And so who do you serve, basically?
Well, Waukesha County, obviously, but anybody who's looking to, again, not want to stop learning, but then also that part of just doing, being able to go out and meet people, have fun, do interesting things. Matter of fact, I was just having a conversation with somebody about that lifelong learning and doing things after you you stop working. Well, it and all the things you mentioned about, oh, it's good to be healthy, it's good to go out and socialize and all that kind of good stuff. Well, if you tell people that, it sounds after a while like it's a to-do list and it could be actually burdensome. Well, you got to make it fun, right? Then that's what LIR is about, LIR Waukesha County. Yes, we want you to be healthy. We want you to socialize. We want you to make friends and we want you to live a long life, but have fun in the process. And so anybody who's an adult who wants to get out there, meet new people, have fun, socialize, and learn for the rest of their lives and not be bored, that's who should be part of LIR.
Okay. Well, they say that you should be a perpetual learner. That's how you keep things active in many respects. Tell us what are some programs or activities that you guys offer.
In addition to the classes that we offer, and those classes can range from anything from birding to the Middle East to anything about Mexico to inside the Pentagon or D.C. And I've just talked about one recently with somebody, too, about the Brewers and the Packers. So we had one talked about My Summer to Die For. Well, that's a little bit of a misnomer about the title, but this gentleman had started when he was young with the Brewers and traveled all around. So we have things about the Brewers and local things as well as scamming or staying away from those types of things. But now we're starting to get into artificial intelligence. So it's new, but we want people who maybe aren't in the workforce every day to also keep up on the newer things as well. So things like artificial intelligence and Bernie, and also we have special interests like Helen Keller. So if you don't know that much about Helen Keller, you heard about her, but you want to take a little bit of a deeper dive, go for that as well. Oh, and one special one. With our Mexico class and our China class, the teacher there also has food from those regions after the class, at the last day of class.
Nice. And I know you guys go out to see plays as well.
Yes, we also do that. We go to the local theaters, like Oconomowoc has a great performing arts center. Recently had Guys on Ice there. And we went to a couple other shows near the Waukesha Theater. We there go there quite a bit. We go to special shows out in the Dousman area. They'll have events out there. And so, yeah, we have different theater events that we go to. We also went to one, and my wife went to this one up in Green Bay to the Hall of Fame. And they went inside.
Cool.
You get to see the guts of Lambeau Field, those types of things.
Nice.
So we have a lot of exciting things that, and what I like about it is I put it akin to the Milwaukee events or the Waukesha events where you have the open door type events. You get to see guts of what the inside is, because now we have people that either have connections or know people with inside these venues that can get you access and we have the programs, and luckily we have the board and members and people who help put these things together. So it can be rather interesting and exciting.
Yeah, you got a wide array of offerings, I would say. What would you say are some of your most popular education classes?
Well, the ones I actually just mentioned, the Helen Keller one, and believe it, well, there's the Packer one and the Brewer one. Obviously, those are sports teams, right? Everybody's excited about that. But one that's caught on recently, and I know this has been in the popular news, that birding is huge. People love the birding classes we have.
Oh, okay. Learning about birds.
Yeah, so they can go out there and identify the birds. They bring their binoculars and all that kind of stuff and learn about the different things that are going on in that area. So there's also a feel right now, and this is always something that we're looking at doing, is bringing on the do-it-yourself classes. This is something that was introduced to me recently about people who are, again, by themselves. They need a little extra help around do-it-yourself, about a little help around the house, about maybe wiring or fixing this thing or fixing that thing.
Oh, very cool. So you added DIY to your list of offerings. That's very cool.
Well, we're hoping to, yes.
Well, we at EIG have had a long relationship with LIR for, gosh, I think 7 years plus. And we've actually been providing education in one form or another in our own education center in our home office in Waukesha. Obviously, most of the classes we teach are financial related. And some semesters we've had to cancel our classes initially because of COVID, but sometimes there are just certain topics that are cyclical in terms of interest. When we come back after our short commercial break, Greg is going to share with us interest in some new topics and the new programs that they're offering as a result. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Greg Dugan, board member of LIR, or Learning in Retirement of Waukesha County. Greg, we talked about some classes that go in waves in terms of interest, both inside and outside the classroom. Tell us about some new activities or programs that you have on your agenda.
Well, I sort of touched on some of those already with the AI area, but one of the other things I did not mention is basically helping seniors with the iPhones, the iPads, and basic computer questions. And while we did move away from WCTC, we still have ties to them. And we work with the students there, which I think is a good tie of bringing the older, younger generation dynamic together, if you will. And they're still very helpful to us in that area. So if you have a problem with the iPhone, the iPad, or your computer, this computer is acting up, not doing X, Y, or Z, the students are there available, okay, to sit down with you, have the patience, God bless them, to walk you through and figure out what exactly that is going on, so you don't have to go to your son, daughter, or grandperson or whatever it might be to figure out what that is. You now have a resource available to you. And again, that AI topic is huge. And actually, I took that one because if anybody's ever done Chat GPT or any of these types of things, it is fantastic. I've got to encourage you to come to one of our LIR AI classes because it is the new greatest thing. You can now outdo you. You can write Christmas cards in 2 seconds. Just plug in what's the best Christmas card for your grandkids. It'll pump it out for you and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Press a button and it's gone. So we can help you in a number of ways with that now.
Well, technology is really great. I mean, it's got benefits and maybe takes away certain things from people as well, you know, in terms of thinking, but that's the way of the world. Our young kids are just going to be able to speak into their phones or their computers and come up with all kinds of answers. But I love the idea of providing computer related questions, because I know my mother has questions all the time. Well, heck, I have questions all the time, and I got to lean on my kids to provide answers. And, you know, we know that COVID was a challenging time for everybody, really, because no one was going outside their homes for simple things, let alone attending educational classes. What are some of the challenges that LIR has had to face over the years?
Well, that is the biggest thing is to reach people. And then once the COVID thing loosened up, it's okay. Well, LAR is still here. Don't worry about it. Okay. Yes, we had to break away, but LAR is still here. And then getting the messaging out. I have a marketing background, and one of the things I've learned is that you can't tell people something once and they're going to remember. You got to tell them and then tell them and tell them and tell them and tell them. But now with the misconception about what's happening within an organization, you've got to reach them several times. And with certain generations, it's more difficult than others. And I think that's what we have right now is reaching the right people the right way at the right time and then trying to break through all that clutter. Also, that's one of our hardest things right now. And what we're trying to do too, also with LAR, is to not only have our classes in person, and we thank God we have churches that are helping us right now, spread around in Hartford and Waukesha, Pewaukee, and other areas where we can hold our classes. But now we're trying to maybe bring some of those online too. So we have a hybrid of in-person and online. So those people who can't make it for whatever reason, they can't drive, can't find a ride, whatever it might be, now we can deliver it to their homes. So nice. We've tried that in the past, but that's another thing of COVID that was a positive, is everybody learned about this thing called Zoom or whatever it was.
Right.
Now we've all gotten a lot better at it, right? So
yeah.
now we are also being able to hopefully deliver that product to our product to people who cannot do that. So everybody's changed, and we've changed with the technology, hopefully change to deliver. But that's one of our challenges right now, is finding the people who need us and delivering that product. But then our final challenge, and I think this is everybody's challenge who's in the nonprofit world right now, is finding the funds to help get that technology and deliver it. So those are the two biggest ones, three biggest: finding the people, delivering the technology, and getting the money to deliver that technology.
Okay. And again, like you said, you're not alone in that regard. You know, everybody's looking for funding. And I think if you're listening and you connect with education or with seniors, you know, either support them through membership or through donations. And we'll get to a little bit of that later on. But as I said in the opening, that in May of 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General declared a national loneliness and social isolation epidemic. And you had told me, Greg, that there was a new study done by the CDC that talked in depth about the subject of loneliness. So how has LIR been able to provide a solution to that problem?
Well, there was basically almost a three-legged stool part of that. And there was the socialization, the continuous learning, and the activity. And we provide that three-legged stool, if you will. And what the CDC basically said was, if you can address in your life those three legs of socialization, continuous learning, and activity, you're taking away the loneliness component. If you can do any of those, you're going to stay way ahead of being lonely. Oh, by the way, loneliness addressed, you can get diseases from that. You can get depression, all those types of things. So find something else to do. So if I were to say anything about LIR at this point, is do something for yourself. This is your yes. call to action today. Go and do something for yourself. Because if you sit at home, if you're worried about, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Well, here's your answer. Because now you go out, you're going to make friends, you're going to learn something, you're going to get exercise, you're going to feel better about yourself, not only physically, but mentally. You're probably going to meet some great people, because I have. And in the meantime, guess what? You're going to be healthier for that too. And that's just me talking or the members of LIR now. This is the CDC, and this is the Mental Health Association, and there's a number of other people who are saying the same thing. And as a matter of fact, I found an article the other day from a gentleman, Dan Buettner, who's in Florida. He's a New York Times bestselling author and a National Geographic fellow, who basically said the people, and he studied the Blue Zone people. And the Blue Zone people are the people who live to 100 and beyond, and they do the Mediterranean diet and all this kind of stuff. Well, they also do a lot of, guess what, socialization, lifelong learning, all these kinds of things. So I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I like to live a long time. And when I live a long time, I also want to socialize. I want to keep learning. I want to be active, and I want to be happy.
And you want to be healthy.
I want to be healthy in the meantime.
Yeah. The story about your wife is a really great impact story, you know, talking about how her life totally changed. She got involved in LIR, and now she's doing all these things. Talk to us about membership for a moment. What's the cost and what are some of the benefits?
The cost is $60. And however, we've also got a snowbird discount. So it's $35 if you only want to do a half a year. And if you just want to do one of our special interest groups or SIGs, it's $10. So we try to accommodate it. Not everybody wants to be there the whole year, that type of thing. So that's basically it. The benefits, well, we've talked about those benefits, I think, from what we can do as far as that's concerned. But the big thing, well, not big thing, but the other additions are you, again, learn, you meet people, you make lifelong friends. And one last thing, my wife said to me, the one thing she likes most about her Mahjong group is the bonds. The bond is you have people looking out for you. Somebody doesn't show up. Where is he or she? Do they need a ride? Are they okay? That type of thing. So
yeah, the connectedness is so important.
Exactly. I know that there's people out there who have their kids that are living out of town. Their grandkids are maybe off to college or they're alone or they don't have those people attending to them. Well, now here's another avenue for you to reach that. Get those people that'll look after you.
Absolutely. Well, what do you want to be sure people take away from today's conversation? You know, we talked about all different kinds of things, but if you could narrow it down to one key point, what would that be?
I think I said that before, is do something for yourself.
Yeah.
And do something for yourself by joining an organization. LIR is a great place to just meet people. We have different events coming up during the year where you can just come and learn about us. It's a kickoff event. You can go to our website and just search the classes we have. Just experiment, but do something for yourself. Just come and look at us just to get a feel for it. But this will help your health, your well-being, all those types of things, and help you be with us for a longer period of time. We want you here. We love you. Come and join us.
Okay, wonderful. Give us the website, the contact information. How can people get to you and support you in some way?
Okay, the website is www.lirwc.org.
Okay, and on that website, is there a donate button by chance?
There is a donate button,
okay.
And there's all kinds of other contact information there, phone numbers, all that kind of good stuff.
Okay, so check them out, Learning in Retirement, or LIR of Waukesha County. Thank you, Greg Dugan, board member of LIR. Thank you for sharing your passion for what who LIR is and what they do. Thanks for joining me today.
And thank you, Jill. Thank you, Ellen Becker Investment Group.
You're certainly welcome. Well, some of the activities in the programs LIR offers are preventative measures against loneliness and social isolation and the potential result of it, which, as we've learned, includes mental and physical issues. In our second half of the show, we're going to learn more about an organization you've probably heard of before, but you'll get some more insight on how they are providing solutions to this problem. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after our short commercial break.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is from an organization that works with people who are experiencing the loneliness, the isolation, and depression in our country. Welcome to the show today, David Grahams, Executive Director from the Alzheimer's Association Wisconsin Chapter.
Thanks, Jill. Great to be here. Thanks so much to Ellen Becker Investment Group for this opportunity.
Well, you're certainly welcome. I think this is it's a topic that I am starting to experience within my own family, not me personally, but family members. And I think it's going to be extremely helpful what you're going to be sharing today. You know, it seems like we all know someone, right, who has been impacted by Alzheimer's or some form of dementia, because as I said in the opening, it's so widespread, it's become an epidemic. So tell us more about how the Alzheimer's Association came to be the global leader in this fight against Alzheimer's and what they're doing to address the impact of the disease.
Well, the Alzheimer's Association was formed way back in 1980, actually, by a philanthropist in the Chicago area, Jerome Stone, whose wife was actually living with Alzheimer's disease. And he saw that the support available for people along the way was just not adequate. There was, at the time, a loose connection of different organizations across the country who were trying to provide care and support for individuals, but they were doing it individually and not really in a more coordinated way. He felt that without question, if they worked better together and could learn from one another and actually help coordinate resources across different geographies, that this would just be a better experience for everyone who was trying to care for a loved one or living with the disease. In addition, he felt through one organization that there could be a greater impact on Alzheimer's and dementia research through the combined resources. That's really how the organization started. And the organization has grown to become today the largest nonprofit funder of Alzheimer's and dementia research in the world. There's currently $430 million in Alzheimer's Association research grants that are in effect across the globe. Here in Wisconsin, more than 2.3 million that is funded by the Alzheimer's Association at institutions like the UW Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, as well as the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee as well. So what we try to do is not only fund the most innovative and promising research, but we're also helping people along the way. Again, those who are living with the disease, as well as those who are caring for a loved one. And so we provide care and support services. We have a 24/7/365 helpline available that is staffed by master's level clinicians to help people with any question that they might have as well. That number, I'm gonna offer it up to you right now because it's so important. It's 800-272-3900. And again, has actually translation services in 200 different languages. So,
wow. Okay. Well, we'll restate that again at the end of the interview, just so people were sure to get that out there, because that's a great resource. How did you personally get involved in your work with the Alzheimer's Association?
Well, Jill, like you mentioned, so many people today, I'm no different, that I've seen the impact of this disease within family, within friends. It's an unfortunate reality that we all in one way or another seem to be touched with regard to it. And so it was one of those scenarios that I felt the mission was really important. It was important personally, but professionally, I heard from people who were involved with it as well, who felt as though it's just doing such great work and might be a good fit for some of the skills that I have. And so here I am today.
Okay. Well, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're out there in the community addressing a real issue. And like we said, epidemic levels. You know, sometimes we tend to use Alzheimer's and dementia interchangeably. Is there a difference, or are they one and the same?
Well, actually, dementia is an umbrella term for a number of neurological disorders that interfere with brain function. Alzheimer's disease is actually the most common form of dementia. Nearly 60 to 80% of all diagnoses of dementia are a result of Alzheimer's disease. There are other forms of dementia, frontal temporal dementia, Lewy body dementia, vascular dementia, et cetera. But again, Alzheimer's disease is by far the most significant prevalence within that group.
Okay. Well, let's talk signs. What early signs should we be tuned into, either for ourselves, you know, the memory issues of ourselves or our loved ones?
Well, really, one of the earliest signs to be tuned into is that whether for yourself or a loved one, people have difficulty remembering newly learned information. So in other words, you might have a conversation with someone, they might ask you the same question a dozen times within 15 or 20 minutes. In other words, they're not recalling that this was something that has been addressed or discussed. Other issues as well would include difficulty with problem solving or reasoning, not remembering important dates or events. And there's definitely a distinction between normal aging, right? Everyone forgets where they put the car keys, that sort of thing. But
I guess I'm off the hook then.
There you go. But by the same token, if you're not able to retrace your steps after you've lost something, that could be a sign. If someone becomes disoriented in a familiar place, I might have been going to the same grocery store for the last 15 years, but I'm having difficulty finding my way back and forth from home, or again, same way, a familiar restaurant. They don't feel oriented in the way that you would normally expect them to. Though those, as well as other things, are clear signs of something that may be more than just normal aging.
Okay, I heard someone say once that, as you just said, misplacing your keys is not a sign of dementia or Alzheimer's. But if you find your keys in the refrigerator, maybe you want to rethink that. What are some of the first things that a person should do? And who would they reach out to if the memory issues are more than just that normal aging, and they've actually been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia?
Sure. Well, you know, the first conversation always, and as early as possible, is to have a conversation with your doctor. And they can determine, is this something to be more concerned about, or is there something else going on within that person's, maybe a person's medications aren't mixing correctly, those sorts of things. So again, first conversation with the doctor. The next conversation, especially if there's been a formal diagnosis, is honestly the Alzheimer's Association. I mentioned before the helpline that we have available, always available to answer any question, large or small. In addition, we have programs and support groups for people who may be living with the disease, people who may be caregiving for someone who's living with the disease. The association also offers up individual care consultations, care planning assistance, so that that family can say, well, we know what might be coming next. What do we need to be prepared for in ensuring our loved one is cared for as best as possible, those sorts of things. So it's really, one of those cases of get ready, get prepared, know what resources are available in your community. And that's where the Alzheimer's Association can come in and help.
Okay, I'm curious, do you guys do any kind of like intervention? Let's say a family member calls and says, our aunt or our grandma or our mother or whatever is experiencing these signs, but she's just not open to, or she just doesn't think that it's reality. Do you guys step in, or do you actually have to be having that conversation with the person themselves?
Well, that is a common situation where the person living potentially with Alzheimer's doesn't recognize that they've had a loss of cognition and that is causing concerns within their life. We do everything we can to equip that caregiver to have that conversation. And in fact, talking through a scenario like that, whether it would be with someone on our helpline or one of our staff members in one of our association local offices, can really talk through what strategies do I want to put into place to ensure that we can keep that loved one as safe as possible. We talked about the car keys before. There sometimes has to be a really hard conversation about, I don't think this loved one is safe driving any longer. How do we approach that with our loved one? So again, there's a myriad of topics we can help people with when reaching out.
Yeah. And again, that caregiver role is so important. You may be that person that's stepping in on behalf of your loved one, and where do you turn? And the Alzheimer's Association has so many different resources available. I encourage you to check it out. And again, at the end of the show, we'll give that 800 number. You may have seen headlines about new advancements in Alzheimer's research and treatments. Stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to learn about some breakthroughs and what's happening in our neck of the woods with regard to that. We'll be right back after our short commercial break.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment with David Grahams, Executive Director from the Alzheimer's Association Wisconsin chapter. So, Dave, I've seen headlines about new advancements and breakthroughs in Alzheimer's research and treatments. Tell us more about what's happening in this area specifically.
Sure. Well, we're living in a really hopeful and important time right now when it comes to the fight against Alzheimer's and all other dementia. Just in the last 24 months, for the first time in history, there were two treatments that were approved by the FDA that actually treat the underlying biology of Alzheimer's disease and have been proven to slow the progression of the disease. Up until now, really, the only things that have been available have provided temporary symptom relief. They might boost brain reserve temporarily, but they're not really treating that underlying biology of the disease. And so this is such an important step forward. I think a lot of times you hear about those amyloid proteins or tau tangles. Those are hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease. What these treatments do is actually remove elevated levels of the amyloid and tau from the brain. And it helps stabilize cognition for people. And at the end of the day, gives people much longer time in those early stages where they are able to be much more self-sufficient. They're able to live a better quality of life. And, you know, like all of us, enjoy more birthdays, weddings, anniversaries with their families. It's so important. And it's been decades in the making, this moment, literally, to be at this place.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a lot of things going on. And it's amazing that the medical community, what they can do in not only with Alzheimer's, but with so many things. And again, it's important to advocate and to just share resources so people are aware. I said at the beginning that, you know, most everybody knows someone that is struggling in this area. And so to share the resources that are available in our community is so important. Are there any local events or activities happening right here in Greater Milwaukee or across the state to help advance this fight against Alzheimer's?
Sure. Well, like I talked about before, there's local research that's happening, and that's really moving the needle forward. But the association on a daily basis, it could be a support group. It could be education programs that we have available. We're trying to work with the public to ensure they better understand the disease. So we're building awareness around the impact of the disease within their community. We're advocating with our elected officials to ensure it's the priority that it needs to be, when it comes to providing the right care and support for people who are living with the disease as well. And then we have very active and visible events and activities that are ongoing throughout the year. Could be the Walk to End Alzheimer's that's occurring. There are actually 27 walks across the state of Wisconsin and 630 on a nationwide basis, where people who care about this cause can get involved and honor someone who may be in the fight against the disease, remember someone who may have been lost. And we have an incredible network of volunteers who help us along the way. We're just a few staff people, but there's literally tens of thousands of volunteers who are helping us each and every step of the way. So again, it's one of those cases where At any given moment, there's probably something happening that the Alzheimer's Association is doing in the community that either help people who are impacted by the disease or creating a future that is hopeful with regard to the, you know, eliminating the impact of the disease. So we absolutely would love for people to get involved in any one of those many, many ways.
Okay. Well, we've talked about in our first segment what to look for and what to do if you've been diagnosed. But what about prevention? It was Ben Franklin that said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Is there anything we can do to prevent or at least reduce our risk of developing Alzheimer's disease?
Sure. And this is actually a great segue, because what Greg has talked about and Jill, you've talked about earlier today about the lifelong learning, learning in retirement, et cetera. Those are all important steps that people can take. And it's never too early or too late to start some of these ways to reduce your risk of Alzheimer's or dementia. Number one, challenge your mind. Learn a new skill. Learn a new language. Do something artistic. Just keeping active in that way is really important. Staying socially active. Greg talked about the idea of they have groups of folks who are coming together to learn and have a lot of wonderful new experiences. That sort of lifelong learning is absolutely critical. And there's a link between education throughout one's life and a potential reduced risk of Alzheimer's or dementia. Staying physically active, right? Getting out doesn't, you don't have to go run a marathon, get out, walk regularly. If you enjoy dance, go out and dance, or gardening. But anything to stay physically active is absolutely important. And like I said, do it on a regular basis. In addition, a healthy diet. It just makes sense that, what we put into our bodies has a real positive effect on, or potentially negative effect if it's not the right thing. And so we always tell people, please try to avoid highly processed foods. I think a lot of times there's added sugars and sodium and et cetera. Those sorts of things are just not, good for you from a diet perspective. In addition, get good sleep. Good sleep hygiene literally, again, is linked to reducing your risk of Alzheimer's or dementia. How many times have you woken up, you haven't slept so well? Boy, I just feel foggy today, right? It's literally, good sleep hygiene is critically important as well. And then finally, all those things I talked about, they all kind of come together to make for a healthy brain, a healthy heart. But controlling your blood pressure is also important. There has been shown a reduced risk of Alzheimer's and dementia for those who keep a good, healthy blood pressure as well. So a lot of things that you can do to modify some of those risks.
And I think you told me at the beginning, before we even got started today, that you hesitate to say prevention because nobody can promise prevention, but what we're doing is we're trying to reduce the risk in all these different areas that you talked about. I had heard that magnesium as well is a really good thing for the brain. Are there certain supplements that people should perhaps be taking?
Well, again, it's one of those cases where a lot of times through a good, healthy diet, people will get those nutrients that they really need and are looking for. But if for some reason you're not able to have a good, healthy, balanced diet, a supplement from time to time can always be a good thing.
Okay. So lots of great work that you guys are doing at the Alzheimer's Association. Tell us how people can get involved, what they can do to support your efforts, and also the best way to reach you and to share that 1-800 number one more time.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We talked before about all the activities that are happening literally on a daily basis out in the community. Well, it doesn't happen without great volunteers getting involved, helping, could be presenting an educational program, could be going with us to Madison or Washington, D.C. to advocate on behalf of this cause, getting involved as an advocate, a support group facilitator, form a team for your local walk, right? It's fun, it's inspiring, and you'll be there with thousands potentially of other people who say, this cause is important to me as well. So again, it's really get involved in those things that are happening locally. The best way to find out more about it would be reaching out to the Alzheimer's Association. Again, that 800 number, 800-272-3900, for many people is the first stop to find out what's happening locally. What questions can I get answered about the disease itself? And they'll know the resources also locally. So again, just one of those cases where reaching out, ALZ.org, our website, is also just has a myriad of information available to people so that they can kind of consume some of that information or take it in at their own pace if they'd like to, and always available as well.
Okay, so ALZ.org is the website and 1-800-272-3900 is that awesome additional resource that you can call. I think you said, Greg, 24/7, 365, yes?
24/7, 365, and again, translation in 200 different languages, actually.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you. I want to thank you, Greg Dugan from the LIR, Learning and Retirement Group of Waukesha County, and also you, David Grams, Executive Director from the Alzheimer's Association. I appreciate you both sharing the ways that you're helping to provide solutions to this epidemic that we're experiencing in the United States. So thank you both for joining me today.
Absolutely. Been a pleasure to be here. And again, appreciate the great questions, Jill.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to LIR or the Alzheimer's Association, referencing the contact information that my guests have shared. And if you know of a great organization that's doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for our show, or if there's a particular topic or resource that you're interested in learning more about, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. I encourage you to tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are contributing to making our community a healthy, happy place to live, work, and play. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. And if you miss a show or prefer to listen at a different time, I encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to any of over 400 previously aired shows, or you can also listen on demand. If you or someone you love is experiencing some of the things we've talked about today, or maybe you just want to take part in learning something new to engage your mind, consider getting involved or sharing the information about our nonprofit guests today. Advocacy is a great way to not only help someone you know and love who may need access to certain resources, but it's also a great help for the nonprofit itself in so many ways as well. Think about how you can make a difference and have a significant impact in some way. Find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.